name is Tom Healy. I'm 70 years old, retired federal law enforcement from Texas. When I became a Christian, I, like most Christians, was dropped into the details of the Bible, and I was confused. About 7 years ago, I tuned in to Bob's show. He caught my interest, so I tuned in again and again. This guy made sense, and he was espousing wisdom that I knew in my heart was right. And it agreed with Scripture many times to my surprise. Bob had authored a Bible study called The Plot, an overview of the Bible, which was mentioned quite often on the show. Clergy would call and say, I've been a minister for 20 years, and after reading The Plot, I now understand the Bible. This caught my attention as I had read the Bible until I was cross-eyed. After the third clergyman called, I ordered The Plot. Hey, it had a money-back guarantee. When I finished reading it, I wanted to dance on my kitchen table. Hallelujah, God's word is now clear. To order, call 1-800-8-INYART, that's E-N-Y-A-R-T, or 1-800-836-9278, that's 1-800-836-9278, or go online at kgov.com, that's kgov.com. Thank you very much.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church, and America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Here's some of the news stories we'd like to cover today. This is out of Florida. This woman's hair burst into flames and caused a house fire. We'll tell you about that. This out of Europe, this tragedy from Yahoo News. Neo-Nazis are threatening to massacre Muslims at the World Cup in Germany. So that's a real tragedy. And what should the punishment be for that kind of threat if they could catch the people making that threat? How about this from Canada? News in Canada, they're reporting on a Berkeley study. UC at Berkeley, liberal campus, liberal professor, and he's done a study. And he says, it turns out that kids in nursery school who are whiny and insecure turn out to be conservatives. Imagine that. Imagine that a professor at Berkeley would have something negative to say about kids in a nursery school, saying that the whiny, insecure ones turn out to be conservatives and the confident, self-assured ones grew up to be liberals. So we'll talk about that study and see what's with that. And then this, oh boy, this, I think we got to start with this. A man's toddler son wandered into a strip joint. This is in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And this story gets me angry. This man is from Kansas, a 31-year-old Christopher Killian. He's from Kansas, and he went into a strip joint and left his 3-year-old son in the car, and it was raining and 45 degrees outside, and he left his son in the car for about 30 minutes. So he's now been arrested. He was arrested on Saturday, and he's charged appropriately. And the boy told police that his father told him to stay in the car and that if he left the car, monsters would eat him. So, flogging is a punishment that God has authorized. And flogging is just an absolutely perfect punishment in this case. Absolutely perfect. The father should be flogged. But even more than that, what liberals, you know, liberals say it takes a village to raise an idiot. How do they put that? Hillary wrote the book with that title, right? It takes a village to raise an idiot? Is that the title of, oh no, it takes a village to raise a child. But what they don't care is that when kids who are unsupervised at a library or at home, have access to TV or the internet or even the radio, and the absolute filth and perversion that comes into their minds, and they don't care. They say it takes a village to raise a child, but they couldn't give a rip. They don't care, because that kind of sexually explicit material should not be available in public. It's wrong. Sexuality is one of the strongest forces known to man. And liberals, you know, liberals are against deregulation. They want to regulate everything, except for the things that destroy human beings, individuals and families and societies. So sex within marriage, they want to deregulate that. And they want to allow it, completely deregulate it, and allow public nudity and sex, even though that is one of the most destabilizing factors in society. In our video that we sell real inexpensively, focus on the strategy. In fact, how much is that? That's one DVD for $9.95, and how many of them for $19.95? Three for $19.95. And 10 for $49.95, 10 for $50. And in that DVD, I recreate a presentation that we gave this past year at Focus on the Family. And in there, we're talking about how the laws are changing. And as the laws change, Christian ministries are changing their value system. And it used to be for 3,500 years that sex was only legal in marriage. And the humanist, Hillary, Hollywood, and the homosexuals lobbied and fought to change that. So they decriminalized sex outside of marriage. So now that's legal. So now adultery is legal. Literally, to try to seduce your neighbor's wife is legal. And what are the results? The results are all these brush fires that conservative Christians are fighting. I'm going to read you a list. And this comes right out of our Focus on the Strategy DVD. But here are some of the battles that Christians are fighting. What are we fighting? And all of these would be non-existent if sex was recriminalized outside of marriage and sex would only be legal in marriage. But because the humanist have decriminalized sex outside of marriage, now we Christian conservatives who are concerned about our children and raising our kids in a healthy society, now we are fighting what? The homosexual agenda, pornography, rampant STDs, sexually transmitted diseases, strip joints, the abortion epidemic, AIDS, condoms given to kids by public school teachers, teen pregnancy epidemic outside of marriage, youth suicide, which is directly related to kids having sex and young girls having their boyfriends leave them for somebody else, and the divorce epidemic. These are all direct consequences of decriminalizing adultery and fornication. And so Christians have to not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the law is the great teacher to lead men to Christ. And what we have to remember is that these behaviors were criminal. And someday they need to be recriminalized. And we need to not be ashamed of that and to work toward that. Because look at this father in Tulsa, Oklahoma, so despicable, but how many times, a million times over, kids are endangered because of adults who are out of control regarding sexual immorality. Let's go to the phones in Denver, Colorado. Dan, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hi, Bob. About a year ago, I called your show,
yeah. And
it was about creation, and I had mentioned how I thought it was interesting how scientists say that the universe is expanding, and how the Bible says that God is literally pulling it apart, we're expanding it.
Well, the Bible says, I think, 11 times that God stretched out the heavens.
Right, exactly. Now, the reason I was calling was because I wanted to let you know that there's something you might want to look at, some animation on the Internet,
yeah,
which is fantastic. I don't know, you may have already seen it. They think, this is cutting-edge theory on geology and planet formation. They think that planets are growing in size and have been. If you go to Neil Adams, the cartoonist, he put together some great animation on this, and it has audio with it, too, because he narrates it, and it shows the Earth using computer-generated graphics shrunk down to about, three-quarters its size, and how, and this is going on all over the solar system with plates coming up. In other words, plate tectonics is not a real, he doesn't think it's absolutely correct that continents are literally floating around on oceans. Planets and moons are growing, and it's some of the coolest stuff you've ever seen.
Huh, now, okay.
Neil Adams.
This is from Coast to, was this on Coast to Coast?
Yes, he was talking about this, and it's one of the few times I ever actually went and looked at something they recommended.
Because Coast to Coast is one of the, Art Dingling, who was the original host, Art Dingling?
Art Bell was
Art Bell, that's yeah. Right, Art Bell.
Uh-huh.
And, they have, most everything they have lacks total credibility, but once in a while they could get somebody who's got something worthwhile to say.
Right. They can show you pictures of the Grand Canyon, yeah. And he says, you see the Grand Canyon, he says, it just happens to have a river flowing through it, and then they can do the animation, make the Earth smaller, and you can do this for Ganymede or any other moon that they've got great pictures of, and they can close it up, and everything fits in perfectly. Just like what the expanding Earth and planets hypothesis would tell you, it's really cool animation if you want to watch. It's got music and narration and everything.
Well, Dan, you know how originally geologists say, and they've agreed with the Bible, which predated them by a few thousand years, in the statement that originally there was only one landmass and the rest of the world was an ocean.
Right. Right.
And geologists, they call that Pangaea.
Right. Well, in this, right, exactly.
Let me make a point. And what some people say, but I think they miss it a little bit here. They say if you look at North and South America and Europe and Africa, you could see that they fit together.
Well, they do. They all do.
Well, the shape, there's a general shape that's uncanny. And that shape is consistent, but they don't really fit together because it's off by about a third.
Watch the animation on a shrinking world story. And by the way, he calls the Pangaea theory. He calls this, he says it's knee-jerk and it's just totally foolish. But it's on neiladams.com.
All right.
He's a cartoonist. If you get a chance, you might just want to take a look at it because it's some of the best use of the Internet that I've ever seen.
All right. Well, I have it right here on my computer, and so we'll take a look at it after the show. And, Dan, thank you very much.
Okay, thanks.
Appreciate your call. And our number here, 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. So this example in Tulsa with this guy and his son, that's one example of what? Millions of times in recent history where children have been terribly endangered or even worse, and sex outside of marriage is a major risk factor to children, to women, to people in general. And the FBI tracks when drugs or alcohol are involved in a crime. But you know what they don't track? Boy, with all the conservative administrations we've had, why don't they track when sex outside of marriage is a factor in murder? Why don't they track that? Why don't they track when pornography is a factor in children who are sexually molested? Why don't they track that? But they don't, do they? And they should, because sexual immorality is a major factor in violent crime and sexual assaults. Okay, what else do we have? So this poor lady, this woman in Port St. John, Florida, Port St. John, Florida. That's one of those towns with too many names. Port St. John. Right? This woman was trying to blow out a candle, but ended up setting her hair on fire. And in trying to put out her hair, she set the house on fire and ruined much of the home and mostly destroyed two decades of memories. Now, that's really sad. That's a, man, this poor gal. And she had her grandkids with her and her daughter, and thankfully no one was harmed. Her daughter's hair was singed, and she had a few burns on her shoulder. But aside from that, pretty much all she lost was a major chunk of the house and two decades of memories. Boy, freak accident, huh? Sometimes there's confusion. There's bizarre things happening. There's utter stupidity. Have you ever seen utter stupidity? Have you ever seen confusion? And think about the Creator God who made the universe. He is not the God of stupidity or perversion or confusion. Is he? Is that what he creates? No. He doesn't create that. He is not the author of confusion, and yet confusion abounds. And bizarre accidents. So we shouldn't use the unbiblical word luck, because luck is more a mystical type concept. But the biblical word chance, that's the word we should use, because Jesus said by chance. Remember when the man had been beat up by thugs on the road to Jericho, from Jerusalem to Jericho, the Good Samaritan story. And Jesus said, by chance, a certain Levite came by. He was a religious guy, but he thought, you know what? I have a ministry. I don't have time to save somebody who's being unjustly killed, because the guy could have died there. And Jesus said, by chance, and we reference that verse occasionally in our Bible study album called Predestination and Free Will, when we recorded a seminar I've given on the topic. We talk about that and how even the Bible translations that are heavily influenced by predestination theology and worldview, even they typically translate Jesus saying by chance. Why do they do that? Because that's what the Lord said. I mean, he was speaking Greek, but you really got to twist it to translate it any other way. And there is chance. There's no such thing as luck. Luck is a mystical, occultish kind of idea. But chance is chance, random chance. So random chance, it wasn't God who decreed that this woman's hair would catch fire and she would look so silly like this. But this was a chance, freak occurrence. Okay. So what else is in the news here? Our phone number, 1-800-8-NYARDS. That's 1-800-836-9278. Now, we're calling Joe Scott to get an update. We're going to get an update from one of the pro-life leaders in Denver on what's been happening lately. But let's see, before we get Joe on the line, in Europe, now, there is a report on Yahoo News about a threat being issued by neo-Nazis to massacre Muslims at the World Cup coming up in Germany. And to whatever extent this is, whether this was a joke or if it's a credible threat, when it's issued like this publicly, you know what's going on? When it's issued like this publicly, that's a conspiracy to murder. That kind of threat, that we're going to kill you if you come to our country. And so governments should find people who make such threats and arrest them and try them for conspiracy to murder. It's criminal, of course, to make a threat and to put other people in fear. And so what a tragedy, what an absolute tragedy. And they're called neo-Nazis, these racists, and we need to remember what happened in Germany did not happen in the Dark Ages. It didn't happen in a dark corner of a continent somewhere. It happened in the middle of Europe, in the nation that was the most prosperous and the most advanced in science and literature and art, Germany, where they slaughtered the innocent intentionally by the millions. And so for the liberals who think humans are basically good, the reason they could think that is because they suspend everything they've learned reading history books and newspapers. They suspend all that. All right, now we're going to go to the phones for a report on what's the latest from one of Denver's pro-life leaders, Ken and Joe Scott, two of my heroes, and we have on the phone Joe Scott.
So you're calling for an update, Bob?
Yes, like to know what's the latest. There are always amazing things happening when you fight to save unborn children. What's up?
Well, since January 22nd, we now have 13 babies.
13 babies saved so far this year.
That's right.
Last year it was 104.
Right.
By the Denver pro-life community.
That's right.
Praise God.
But the last baby that was saved was, the experience was heartbreaking and just real upsetting to me as it was going on. A young woman, beautiful Hispanic young woman, was walking into the abortion clinic to get an abortion because she was convicted with a felony, and she's going to jail March 29th.
Oh, my.
So she
March 29th, so in a week from today.
Right.
And she's been convicted and now sentenced. And did the judge know she was pregnant?
No. She hasn't told anyone.
Wow. All right.
She had been convicted of two other felonies when she was 17 and car theft things. And then did it again when she was 18 and got caught. And just a beautiful young woman that's real articulate, speaks both languages beautifully.
And she's getting into a life of immorality and crime.
Immorality and crime.
How does that happen, Joe?
Well, she came across to me as a young woman who's been given everything and has never been told no, you know. But unfortunately, she isn't from the United States either. She's only been in the United States a few years.
All right.
But just a beautiful young daughter that's been spoiled. She kept telling me that the best thing for her baby was to be aborted. And I said, really, is it the best thing for you to have your arms and legs ripped off today?
Wow.
And she said, well, no, but it's not a baby. So I showed her what her baby looked like.
How do you end up talking to her? She's headed to Planned Parenthood to kill her baby, I imagine, what, in the late first trimester or something?
Yeah, late first trimester. What had happened was she had two young men drop her off across the street from Planned Parenthood. And I saw her and walked up to her and found out through talking to her that she didn't want those young men to know where she was going and why she was going, because they would not have approved of it.
Oh, wow.
So I got to talk to her for 40 minutes, and I'm going to jail. I said, that's right. You're a petty thief. You go in there, you're a class A murderer.
Wow.
You know, and I was real hard on her because she came across as like this, I'm this tough girl and you're not going to crack me.
Right.
You know? But when I showed her what an abortion is and talked to her about future health problems.
You could show her, because as with any good sidewalk counselor, you're at the abortion clinic when the women are coming, the moms are coming to have their babies killed.
That's right.
And you're ready with a book of the pictures of unborn children, all information about what an abortion, how the baby then is killed, and what the consequences are to the mother's health. And so you're ready, Joe.
Right. I was ready, and I was showing her that information, and I realized when I showed it to her that she was taken aback by the pictures, and she said, don't show me that. And I said, oh, I'm going to show it to you.
Good for
and,
you.
And she listened. She didn't walk away, which was amazing. She had a friend with her.
Hey, Joe, just in the last few weeks, there have been renewed arguments in Colorado from pro-lifers who say it's wrong to show those pictures.
I know. Unbelievable. Those are unfortunately foolish people.
Well, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of babies just in the ministry that you have, and then multiply that by city after city around the country. Thousands, tens of thousands of babies have been saved by pro-lifers who are at the abortion clinic with pictures saying, don't do this to your child.
That's right. And, Bob, I've been doing this so long that in the very beginning when I began sidewalk counseling, we didn't have these pictures. So I saw the difference the day we brought those pictures out.
Wow.
It just, our saves went up by 50%.
Wow. Okay, so what happened with this gal?
Well, after 40 minutes, she went in. And I was just heartbroken. I couldn't believe she was going to do it. I talked to her all the way to the door.
Yeah, you practically become friends in 40 minutes.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what her soft spots are. So all the way to the door, I stayed on her. And, of course, the death squads who were in the parking lot to protect her from me surrounded her. Mm. She went in, and one of the other protesters said, well, maybe she'll come out. And I was just devastated. I said, no, she's not coming out.
Yeah, you get heartbroken.
Yeah. And 20 minutes later, she was out. She came out of the parking lot and said, I can't do this. I just can't do it.
Oh, Joe, congratulations.
Oh, and John, the other protester, says, oh, Joe, I love it when you're wrong.
Yeah. So was that her baby is number 13?
Yes.
That's the 13th baby saved at 20th and Vine in Denver at Planned Parenthood.
That's right.
All right. Joe, how much does Planned Parenthood charge to kill a baby?
Well, first trimester is about $450.
Okay, $450. And they don't take checks.
Or if they're doing the RU486, it's $550. No, they take cash.
And they charge more for RU486, which is a chemical abortion, a pill, and it works up till the baby is about 8 weeks of age.
Right.
And it kills the baby chemically, and the woman has a spontaneous abortion.
Yeah, there's been a real spike in that lately at Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, more money and easier.
And they come back twice.
And they don't have to, do they have to pay the abortionist?
Do the girls have to pay the abortionist?
No.
No, they don't.
Does Planned Parenthood have to pay the abortionist?
Oh, no.
When they kill the baby with
RU-46? No, they don't.
No. All right. Hey, Joe, congratulations.
Thanks,
for another
Bob.
Save. God bless you.
Okay. God bless you, too.
Boy, do I appreciate Ken and Joe Scott, two of our heroes here at Bob and Yurt Live. And we're about out of time, so I want to let you know this Berkeley study. There's a professor at the University of Arizona where I attended for a year and a half for computer science. And this professor says that the whole Berkeley study is bunk. And so we'll talk about that right after this break.
At Bob Inyart Live and KGov.com, you'll find literature, audio, and video products that are a must for the library of any Christian interested in studying the truth of the Bible. You'll find essential material like the plot manuscript, an overview of the whole Bible that will clear up doctrinal issues. Then there's The Tree, a fun audio journey back to the Garden of Eden, where you'll learn about this most famous tree and its impact on humanity. Check out the Mount Moriah video. This video gives evidence for the resurrection, combining biblical and secular resources. It's a great witnessing tool. And don't forget the death penalty video. Learn that Jesus advocated the death penalty and learn how God put the death penalty at the heart of the gospel. You can directly help Bob's outreach by subscribing to Best of Bob, Bob's Best 8 Shows of the Month, or build a Bible study library by ordering the monthly Bible albums. There's a lot more, so give us a call at 1-800-8-INYARD. That's 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278 or KGOV.com.
This is Bob Inyart inviting you to read our manuscript, The Plot, for an overview of the whole Bible. Call us at 800-836-9278. That's 836-9278. NYART 1-800-836-9278. That's the number to call into Bob and Yurt Live. I am the pastor of Denver Bible Church, and what an honor to do a daily talk show now for 15 years, including in Des Moines, Iowa. to extend the reach of this program that's been on for so many years. So up in Canada, this story is getting more play than maybe it is here, at least so far. And it's a study out of UC Berkeley, the University of California at Berkeley. And this study by a liberal professor, Jack Block, this study has concluded that whiny, insecure kids in nursery school grow up to be conservatives. How's that one? And the little kiddies who are confident and resilient and self-reliant, that those kids grow up to be liberals. That's what Professor Block is arguing. In the past, there have been studies like this. Now, the really big mammoth studies, or the studies that have more credibility, are studies that come out and say that conservatives are happier with their lives, that married people live longer, that married people are more satisfied with their intimate relationship, their sexual relationship, than are single people who are having sex. So those are solid studies. This study here, the Professor Block, this liberal from UC Berkeley, he admits that, well, liberal Berkeley is not exactly representative of the whole country, but there's a critic at the University of Arizona. I attended Arizona State University back years ago. That was in the 80s. And while I was there, I was also working with McDonnell Douglas Helicopter Company. I was an engineer associate on working on the Apache helicopter. And boy, was that fun. That was exciting. But at any rate, this Jeff Greenberg, a social psychologist at the University of Arizona, is critical of this Berkeley study. And he says, I found it to be biased, shoddy work, poor science at best. So poor science at best, meaning it's maybe not even science. And in this study, let's see, what is this study? If, let's say the study showed that for every kid who was a crank, every kid who was insecure, every one of them grew up to be a conservative, and every self-reliant kid became a liberal, and none of those kids became conservatives. If that were the case, then this study would predict 100% of the variance between liberals and conservatives. Well, the actual study showed that a self-reliant preschooler, of all things, this study shows that if the preschooler was self-reliant, that predicts 7% of the variance between kids who became liberal and those who became conservative. So if every kid turned out the way the study is saying, then it would be 100% prediction. But it turns out it's 7%. Now, they say in sociology work, that's not bad, but 7% leaves a lot of room for all kinds of influences. And not only that, this study, this is only 7% predictive from such a tiny sample. Only 95 kids were studied, and from such a biased place like Berkeley, of all places, Berkeley. Right? Now, if you have some kids with conservative parents and you put them in a preschool or a nursery in Berkeley, California, I would expect them to be miserable. If we put our kids in a liberal daycare, they'd be miserable. So maybe that's what this study is getting at. So now let's go to Indianapolis, Indiana. Brian, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hey, Bob. How are you?
Doing well, sir.
I wanted to speak about the Plan B drug that you spoke about yesterday and over the last few days.
Yes.
Madeline from Texas called yesterday, and she was going to be boycotting Walmart. We've bought most of our groceries from Walmart, boy, for about 2 years now.
Yeah, we've been huge fans of Walmart as far as a company goes and the tremendous help they've given the average American family and the improvement in the standard of living. of Americans, and also that influence seeps out around the world. And they have also, Walmart single-handedly has helped keep inflation down in America, and some economists estimate that because of Walmart, because of one company, inflation is 1% lower than it would otherwise be.
Yeah, they've probably cut our grocery bill by 20 to 30%. So.
Well, that very well could be. And for those reasons, we love a company like Walmart, and also for the way they deal with unions that very often unions very often destroy the companies.
Great.
And the industries that pay them.
Absolutely.
Right. They bite the hand that feeds them. And so Walmart has done a fabulous job of outwitting the organized labor in America.
Right. Through productivity.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we were considering that. My wife called all of the local pharmacies, all of the grocery stores, because most of them, at least in our area, have pharmacies in them.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't have the Plan B drug, including Costco, they'll order it. So even the ones that aren't stocking it, if you probe them a bit further and say, well, will you order it, they will order it. And in fact, the Costco pharmacist that my wife spoke to today indicated that, as far as she knows, there's no limitation, and if someone asked her to order it, she definitely would. So we wonder what you thought about that, and what you thought about boycotting in general.
Well, boycotting, we've talked about this over the years many times, but let's say Walt Disney promotes abortion and homosexuality.
Right.
Of course they do. They even made a movie called Powder that was directed by a convicted child molester.
Yeah.
Homosexual child molester who sodomized the kid and videotaped it, and the videotape was available in the courtroom. And Disney hired him to direct a movie about people who are different, and you shouldn't judge people who are different just because they're different. So it's just so despicable. So they're a despicable corporation, and if people are able to, or if they want to, boycott Disney or boycott Walmart for this reason, that's great. That's super, and sometimes it actually has a good effect.
Right.
On the other hand, is it a moral requirement to boycott an evil company?
Right. Well, I don't think so.
Well, you're right, but you want to expound on that?
Well, no.
Okay. Well, then give me the opportunity just for a moment.
Please do.
I never miss a chance to speak, you know.
Well, that's why you're there and I'm here.
Well, Brian, the Bible says that we are in the world but not of the world, and that we do interact with people, unbelievers, organizations that are evil, and we do have a responsibility to how we conduct our lives and spend our money. But if you pay taxes to a murderous government,
which we do,
does that mean you share in the guilt of the murder? The answer is no. When the Bible was being written, overwhelmingly the governments were evil, and yet God set up society so that the governments had authority to tax the people within their jurisdiction. And Jesus explicitly, they were talking about paying the temple tax, and he said, show me a coin. And he said, whose face is that? That's Caesar's. So render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. So pay your tax to Caesar. Pay your tax, but give to God that which is God's, which means your whole life. Pay your taxes. Paul in Romans wrote, of course, which we know through studying the whole Bible, that we are to obey the governing authorities unless they tell us to disobey God. Then we should disobey them. But if a government is in existence and we live in that nation or that county and they're taxing, we should pay taxes. Now, do everything you can to minimize your taxes,
right.
Especially when the taxes are criminal.
Right.
Because we pay such a high rate of tax. God said 10% would be criminal, and our government effectively spends half of the GNP, especially when Republicans are in power.
Right, or they borrow more.
Yeah, right, $9 trillion now, the national debt ceiling. So, Brian, when the government does something evil, you can pay your taxes and you're not guilty by like some chain link effect. And similarly, the Apostle Paul wrote a whole chapter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 8, about eating meat sacrificed to idols.
Right.
And Paul said, if there's an idol's temple, that's where they sacrifice animals to their false gods.
Right.
And there's a restaurant on the first floor, which was common.
Right.
So people walking by could stop in, have lunch, have breakfast, barbecued spare ribs or whatever.
And, usually the better meat.
Yeah, right. And Paul said, look, it's not wrong to eat in an idol's temple. But if there's a weak brethren somewhere around you and he's going to stumble because you're doing that, then for his sake, out of love for him, don't do it. But we have the freedom and the liberty to interact in that way. Now, should we sacrifice animals to idols? No, that's idolatry.
Right.
But we can do business with a company that is a godless company. But if we're able to boycott them, especially if we think that boycott can in some way be effective,
then
praise God and go ahead and do it. And we do it occasionally also.
But there's no requirement to do it.
There's no moral requirement. And I'll give you an example. Disney is an evil company. So
I would agree.
So for years, we have tended to not get something Disney if we could get something else instead. But we've raised seven boys, Cheryl and I. And because we're conservative Christians, we know that our culture is so destructive that we try to protect our kids, insulate them, protect them from the negative culture. So we have to say no to our kids 1,000 times over.
And we the same.
And you the same, right? So it's a sermon I did that we still sell 5 years later. It's called Tyrant Dad. And it's that the more wicked, the more sexually perverse, the more criminal, the more dangerous a culture becomes, the more of a tyrant a good dad seems to be.
Right.
It's not that he's a tyrant. It's just he's increasingly protective of his kids.
Right.
So because we say no to our kids so often, we go out of our way whenever possible to say yes. And if our kids want to go hiking on a mountain and I had so many important things to do, I will scrap my schedule, if at all possible, to go with them hiking on a mountain to offset the other 10 times we said no. And that overlaps with our consideration with Disney. If Disney puts out a movie, let's say it's Toy Story,
right.
Toy Story 2, Buzz Lightyear, and we have little boys ages 4, 6, and 8, and then big ones, 18, 20, 22, 24.
That's a spread.
It is. So, Brian, the kids love Toy Story and Buzz Lightyear. And we understand that most of our culture, even kids stuff, has some humanist concepts in them.
Right.
And so we will get those movies, watch them with the kids, talk through if there's something like the dinosaurs are 60 million years old.
Right.
So we'll talk through that stuff. And we let our kids enjoy some Disney entertainment, because we want to say yes to them as much as possible, even though we know Disney will use our money to destroy itself and its employees and its wicked influence in our culture.
Right. But we can still be a voice of reason.
Yeah, right. So your conclusion with Walmart is what, that we're stuck?
Well, I don't know that we're any better going anywhere else.
Well, you're probably right, except that Walmart did come out and say, as of March 20th of this year, they are stocking Plan B, which is a very early on abortifacient. If the baby is conceived in the fallopian tube, Plan B will stop it from implanting into the uterine wall and cause a spontaneous abortion.
Now, how is that different than modern contraceptives like the pill?
Well, the pill, well, we just had a doctor on, a family practitioner who founded Physicians for Life, Doc Johnston, Patrick Johnston from Ohio, just last week.
Right.
And we actually had a discussion about this. And
I missed that show.
Well, it's worth listening to, and also his website. And, boy, I don't know if I could spot his website immediately. Let's see if I could find it. But his website has an article on the pill that might surprise some pro-lifers like me, in fact. I've long read in pro-life literature that, okay, he's the founder and the director of the Association of Pro-Life Physicians, and his website is prolifephysicians.org.
Okay.
And he has an article on oral contraceptives and whether or not they're abortifacients.
Right.
And it's somewhat technical, and it's more involved than we were able to get in on the show.
Well, my wife and I have decided against those for those reasons.
Yeah, and I think that's wise. And he's arguing that the RU486 is an abortifacient. It kills babies up to 2 months of age. Plan B is an abortifacient. It kills fertilized eggs, embryos, before they implant in the uterine wall. And many pro-lifers believe that the birth control pill is also an abortifacient. Its main design is to stop ovulation.
Right.
That's what it does. But it's been in the pro-life literature for 30 years now, going way back to early founders of the modern movement, that it will also kill an embryo. If it fails to stop ovulation, it will then prevent that embryo from implanting.
Right.
And Doc Johnston said that there is strong evidence that once the egg is fertilized, the mother then produces so much estrogen that the influence of the pill cannot possibly offset the estrogen. Now, I don't know enough about that. I feel awkward even talking about it. But it's an important topic and one that we need to learn more about.
Right. Well, we wanted to know what your thoughts were. We're probably going to keep shopping at Walmart.
All right. Well, one boycotting, one not. But hey, if Walmart loses 50% of their customers,
right,
they might change their mind.
Well, do you think in this particular case it would be wise to boycott Walmart?
I think if it's possible, it would be worthwhile to make an attempt to do so.
And predominantly because of their public announcement.
Yeah, right.
Open, and then that, unashamed announcement.
Right, and then that kind of leverage could be used against other companies. For example, back when I first went on the radio, AT&T had started giving donations to Planned Parenthood.
Right.
And so the American Family Association started a boycott of AT&T, and it was intense. And the AFA is responsible in large part for Kmart being decimated through the 90s. And Kmart knows that, and many in the who study economics know that. But now AT&T was faced with a similar threat, and they did an about-face and reversed themselves and abruptly stopped, and they informed the AFA that they would stop funding Planned Parenthood, and so the boycott was called off. There's some chance that that kind of influence, if the AFA took this on, spearheaded this, they might be able to do something similar with Walmart and Plan B.
Do you know of any plans that they have? Or?
No, but I don't stay up with them on a daily basis, and it'd be
right.
Worthwhile. Maybe somebody in the audience knows and could call in and let us know. Or encourage the AFA to consider this.
Well, it's an easy enough change for us. We were just concerned that the other pharmacies were doing the same, but
yeah.
More than likely Walmart would be a good place to start.
Mm-hmm. All right. Hey, Brian, God bless you.
Thanks, Bob. We love your ministry.
Oh, you're so encouraging. Tell your wife.
You.
And how many kids?
We have four, 5, 3, soon to be 2, and a newborn.
All right. Well, tell everyone here at Denver Bible Church and Bob and Yurt Live that we said hi.
Okay. We love you, Bob.
God bless you. Thanks, Brian. Appreciate that. Isn't that nice? 1-800-8-NYARTS, 1-800-836-9278. So the last story, and this is the most difficult and the most terrible, saved for last. Today, March 22, 2006, President Bush, George W. Bush, said that he is deeply troubled that a man in Afghanistan is being tried. He's on trial because he converted to Christianity. The guy's name is Abdul Rahman, and he faces a possible death penalty. Now, that won't happen because of the president over there, Hamid Karzai, and he's a classic Western-educated, influenced libertarian type, but he's heading up an Islamic country. And so he has to find a way, a bureaucratic way, not to let this happen because he wants to continue his relationship with the West. But this guy, Abdul Rahman, he's 41 years old. He faces a possible death penalty for converting to Christianity from Islam. And this happened not just recently, but 16 years ago. So now they got him, and he's charged with rejecting Islam, which is a crime under Afghanistan's Islamic law. And so George W. Bush is upset, and he's saying, hey, there's a young democracy there, but this is the wrong direction to go. And please try to realize that our conservative leaders have almost replaced righteousness as the goal with democracy. And democracy is a fundamentally bad idea. Why is that? Because Jesus said the majority hate God. He said the majority are going to hell. Narrow is the way. Few are they that find eternal life. And to find eternal life, all you have to do is love God. Trust God, and he'll save you, and you'll live forever. And so the majority are going to hell. Why? Because they're enemies of God, and they want to do all the things that, here in America, for example, people want to steal, and they want to fornicate, commit adultery. They want to kill their unborn children if they're convenient, or their elderly relatives who are using up too much of their inheritance. And so in a democracy, the people can change the law to legitimize stealing, taking money from your neighbor to pay for your whatever, health care, your kids' daycare, education. And they want to fornicate, so they decriminalize adultery, fornication, pornography, and so on. And they decriminalize murder so they could kill their children. In America now, 50 million of them have been killed, 50 million children. So democracy is a real danger in Islamic countries. Islamic countries, democracy, you know, you just elect Hamas and the Egyptian Brotherhood, Muslim Brotherhood. So anyway, we'll talk a lot more about democracy in the future. This is Bob Benyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.